Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erevin Daf Samach Aleph. We are on Samach Amud Beis, towards the bottom. Perhaps let's just back up a couple of lines to 8 lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, De'omar Rabbi Idi, Omar Shimon Levi. So Rabbi Idi quoted Rabbi Shimon Levi as follows. This fellow has an Erev somewhere, and he begins measuring his tchum of 2,000 amma, and he's walking along, measuring his steps. He encounters a city, and his 2,000 amma, and right in the middle of that city. In this case, he's granted that first half of the city, that's considered to be part of his 2,000 amma. But he cannot continue farther into the city. What if his measurement, what if his calculation, his 2,000 amma point reaches the end of the city, in which case the entire city is included in his tchum? So, in this case, we consider the entire city, which is really one residential unit, as though it's merely 4 amis. Why? Because it was enveloped, it was included into his tchum, it's completely within his tchum area. Therefore, it's considered to be part of his residency. And it's one place of residence. Therefore, we treat it merely like 4 amis, like one unit, one personal space, which is 4 amis. And that's all we deduct from the tchum for the sake of the city. It counts like 4 amis. And then, after he passes the city, he continues, he resumes his calculation. He only deducts 4 amis for the city. Then he has the remainder till he reaches 2,000 amis in total. So, Rabbi Shimon Levi differentiates for us between a case where his boundary ended in the middle of the city, in which case, we don't treat the city like 4 amis. We say, okay, you're 1,000 amos into the city, deduct that 1,000 from your tchum and stop right there. But if his tchum managed to somehow get all the way to the other side of the city, in which case the entire city is included in his boundary, we treat it like one singular unit, like 4 amos, and that's all he needs to deduct from his tchum for the sake of the city. And he has much more left to continue beyond the city. Amrav Idi. So Rav Idi was actually the one who quoted the Rabbi Shimon Levi with this chiddush, and he exclaimed in wonder, "Ein elu ela divrei nevius." This seems to be words of prophecy. How do you explain this? Mali kolsa b'chatziyir. What difference does it make if his tchum terminated in the middle of the city, mali kolsa b'seifir, or terminated at the end of the city? Is a city 4 amis? Is it considered to be like one residential unit? Then apply that concept in both cases. If the city is meant to be deducted from his tchum, then apply it in any case. What's the difference between this case and that? Taisus actually learns that he was coming to compliment him. It's different nevius. Taisus brings a Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Yud Beis that after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, there's no more nevuah in its pure form, but in a certain aspect, there is a concept of nevuah. Even now, nowadays, given to Chachamim, in fact, the Gemara says Chacham Aleph Minavi. So, through the channels of Torah, channels of Chachma, Hashem endows the Chachamim with a certain aspect of Nevuah. And that's what he's exclaiming in wonder. He's saying, it's so deep, it's impossible to rationalize. This must have come straight from Hashem. This is a Nevuah. So, he basically was wondering where he got it from. And this indicated that there's no source really in Halacha and Mishnayos to make this differentiation. Amar Rava, actually I have a source. Tarvayu Tanani. Both these Halachas were learned in a Mishnah. This is the Mishnah which is coming up soon, Daf Samach Aleph. The Mishnah says, Anshe Ir Gedoyla, Mahalchen Es Kol Ir Ketana. So you have a large city, Ir Gedoyla, and nearby you have a small sized city. So Mishnah tells us that the members of the Ir Gedoyla can go ahead, walk towards the smaller city, and be mahalchin as kolir katana. What does that mean? They treat it like four amis. That's all they're going to deduct from their tchum amount. Just four amis for the entire small city. Let's see Rashi inside. Six lines from the bottom. Amarov, umayinu v'yusei. Why does this have to be a prophecy? Tarvayu tanali masnisen. Both these things. Whether the case of the tchum ending in the middle of the city, in which case we deduct the city from the total amount, or in the case where the tchum ends at the end of the city, in which case we treat the city like merely four amis, both were contained in the following Mishnah. So the residents of the large city, who had a small city situated nearby within 2,000, they leave their city towards the small city. They can walk through the entire small city, says Rashi. Apparently the Mishnah is coming to tell us that they treat it like four amis. And whatever is left of their 2,000, that is completed beyond that city. Because otherwise, if the size, the actual city, is deducted from their tchum, what does the Mishnah come to tell us? That they walk through it. Of course, pshita da'alpayim, certainly a person can walk until 2,000, amma from his city. What's the point of discussing this scenario? Apparently the Mishnah is coming to tell us that they will treat it merely like four amis. Mahalchen means they are mahalchen as kula kedal damis. They treat it like four amis. So that's when it pertains to the ansh ir gedoyla, who are walking towards the ir ketana. They treat it like four amis, and they complete their tchum beyond the ketana. Continues the Gemara on Asamach Aleph Amar Aleph on top. Ve'ein ansh ir ketana. However, this doesn't apply to the members of a small city. What does that mean? Says Rashi up on top. So the members of the small city who are walking towards the large city, they can't treat the large city like four amis. Why? Says Rashi. Because the size of that city, however large the city, the gedolah city is, that's going to be deducted from their tchum. They can't treat it like four amis. They calculate 2,000, and wherever it ends, that's where it ends. They can't treat the ir gedola like merely four amis. So why this discrepancy? How can we discriminate? These people can't. Says the Gemara on the second line, my time. What is the reason for this difference? Apparently, it's due to the halacha that we learned earlier, that when a city is included in your tchum, it's totally enveloped within your 2,000, then it's part of your place of residence, because your tchum is really an extension of your place of residence. So if there's any city included there, then you relate to that residential aspect of the city, and since the city is considered one place of residence, one unit, then it's merely like four amis. You don't need to account for more than four amis for the city. Then you complete your tchum beyond that. But if your tchum ended right in the middle of that city, in which case part of it is in your tchum, part of it is out of your tchum, you don't really relate to the residential aspect of the city because it's not been included, hasn't been enveloped in your tchum. In which case, you treat it just like an ordinary tract of land, and you calculate, you discount whatever portion of the city you've entered, that gets included and deducted from your tchum. So that must be the difference between the Ansh Ir Gedoyla, who are walking towards the Ketana. So what happens there? Where do they begin calculating the Tchum? From the edge of their city. It's a huge city. But whoever lives in that city gets the city as Dal Adamis. That's for certain. That's no question about that. If you live in the city, it's one place of residence. So it's your Makkah. Your Tchum only begins beyond the city. So they begin calculating 2,000 from their Chayma. And they're walking towards the Ketana. Now, since the Ketana is just a very, very small city, it's going to be included in the 2,000, meaning their tchum is going to end beyond that city, and therefore they treat it like four amis. But in the reverse, it won't work. Because the Anshir Ketana, starting from this direction, their city is small. So when they begin their tchum at the edge of their city, and they start calculating their 2,000 towards a large city, they're going to end up somewhere, perhaps in the middle of that large city. So their tchum is kolsa b'chatzia ir. So they won't have this privilege of regarding the large city like four armies. So that must be the pshat in the Mishnah. It says, Rava, if so, we have a source to this halacha. To both aspects of Rabbi Shimon and Levi's halacha. It's not a Nevius, it's a Mishnah. So let's see the Gemara here. On the second line from the top, my time, a wide this discrepancy between the Ir Gedoyla, who consider the small city like four armies, and the Ir Ketano, who can't do the same and apply the Dalad Amma formula to the Ir Gedoyla. Lav Mishum, it must be the Hanikosa Midasa Machatiyah. Because for the sake of the Ir Ketano, their Tchum ended right in the middle of the large city. It didn't reach the end. Therefore, it hadn't been enveloped in their Tchum. It's not considered to be one unit. And they must discount whatever portion they enter of that city from their Tchum. So that's what the mission says, that Anshe Ir Ketano, Ein Anshe Ir Ketano Mahalchen Eskol Ir Gedoyla. However, when it pertains to the Ir Gedoyla of Ahani, Kosa Medosan B'Sefer, their Mida, their 2,000 Amma boundary, terminated where? At the end of the small city, in which case the entire city was included in their Tchum, and is treated merely like four Amis. So we have a Mokar from a Mishnah to this Halach. Says the Gemara, if so, what was Rav Idi's wonderment and amazement? Nevuah? It's a Mishnah. Rav Idi Anshi Tani. Apparently Rav Idi had a different version of the Mishnah. He had a version which said, in both cases, we have positive results. Anshi Ir Gedoyla Ma'alchenes Ir Ketano. And Anshi Ir Ketano Ma'alchenes Kol Ir Gedoyla. So instead of Rav's version, which stated that the Anshi Ir Gedoyla Ma'alchen and Ein Anshi Ir Ketano Ma'alchen, so first it was Anshi, and then by the Ir Ketano it was Ein Anshi, they can't. Rav Idi's version was, in both cases, they could. Anshi Ir Gedoyla Ma'alchen and Anshi Ir Ketano Ma'alchen. And that's why he didn't have a source to this concept. Now, but still, how's it going to work? How can you have such a girsa in the Mishnah? Umukim la benoisen. He interpreted and applied the Mishnah in a case where a person placed his eruv in that city. Meaning, we're speaking where the Anshi Ir Gedoyla placed their eruv material in the Ir Ketano. Or the Anshi Ir Ketano placed their eruv material, their bread, in the Ir Gedoyla. In which case, all agree. When you place your bread in a city, that becomes your Makom Shvisa. And that entire city is considered like your home and like four amos. There's no difference if the person who placed it there belongs to a big city or to a small city. This becomes his current place of residence for Shabbos, at least. And therefore, it's treated like four amos. So Rav Idi had a different approach to the Mishnah. It's not relating to this situation where a person is living elsewhere and he's walking over here and he's calculating. That's not what he's talking about. Speaking about a very simple case where a person placed his Erev material in this city, and therefore, the entire city is regarded like four amos. But regarding calculating and counting your steps and ending up in a city, that's not what the Mishnah is speaking about. And therefore, Rav Idi responded with wonderment and amazement at Rabbi Shimon Levi's halacha. Where do he find this distinction, right, between the case where he is moided, his 2,000, end up in the middle of the city, in which case the city is not four amos, and the case where it end up at the end of the city, where it is four amos. Where do he find it? Because in this Mishnah we don't find it. Says the Gemara, V'loi? This halacha is not to be found in the Mishnah? Actually, if you take a close look at the last line of that Mishnah, we find as follows. V'atanan, the Mishnah says, U'lamoydet she'amr nois m'le'apayim am. When the Chachamim granted 2,000 for the calculator, meaning a person places an Erev and calculates 2,000, Shafilu soif midasai kolav amar. He'll only have 2,000, even in the case where, say, his 2,000 take him right in the middle of a cave, so it's an enclosed area. He has to stop right there. He can't go even one step further into the cave. So we have a Mishnah, which tells us that if a person's tchum takes him into the middle of an enclosed area, he has to stop right there. We don't consider the enclosed area like four amos. In this case, where his 2,000 terminated in the middle of that area. So we do have a source for this halacha. It's a clear Mishnah. says, okay, that aspect we have. But the other aspect, that if the 2,000 end at the end of the area, in this case, we consider the entire area like 4 amos, that we don't have a Mishnah for. So that's why Rav Idi responded with amazement. How do you know that? How do you know to differentiate between one case and the other? And that's indeed why Rav Shulman Levi needed to teach it to us. So if here it's Rav Shulman Levi needed to inform us the halacha of Sofer. So if the calculation takes him all the way to the end of the city, in which case it's enveloped in Istchum, he relates to the residential aspect of that city, and since it's one place of residence, it's one unit, it's 4 amos. Okay, so in summary, if a person places an Erev in a city, that's just like he would actually spend the Ben HaShemashis there. It's his Makam Shvisa, it's his Shabbos residence, the entire area is 4 amos. And 2,000 he gets beyond that huge city. What if he's calculating, he's counting along, he's walking along, and he reaches a city? So that depends. If his 2,000 takes him to the end of the city, in which case the entire city is included in the Tchum, it's regarded mainly like 4 amos. If he has to stop somewhere in the middle of the city, then we don't apply this formula. Wherever you came to, that's where you stop, and not a step further. And whether or not we have a source for this halacha, well, that depends on the girsa. So according to Rava's girsa in the Mishnah, according to Rava's girsa, which is anshe and ein anshe, so we have a clear marker to this concept. Some people can refer to a city as 4 amos because it's been included in their tchum, and some can because it's not been included in their tchum. So we have a source of both concepts. And Rav Idi, he had a different approach to the Mishnah. He had a girsa of anshe anshe. Both people, the residents of the large city and the small city, can walk through the entire neighboring town. According to that, apparently he wasn't speaking about this story, he was speaking about placing the Erev in that neighboring city, in which case the entire city is like 4 amos. So it's unrelated to the discussion at hand, and he had no source for this distinction of Rav Shulman Levi from the upcoming Mishnah. Continues the Gemara. So let's go back to that Mishnah there, and we had two versions of the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to discuss that. Omar Rav Nachman, man detani anshi lemishtamish. Whoever approaches that mission has a version which says, Anshe Ir Gedoyla can walk through the entire Ir Katana. And the Anshe Ir Katana can consider the entire Ir Gedoyla like 4 amos. Whoever has that version, which was actually Rav Idi's version, like Mishtabish. It's not erroneous. It can be a correct version. The halacha is true and correct. Uman Datani Ein Anshe like Mishtabish. Likewise, the other Gersa, which was Rav's Gersa, that the Mishnah begins by saying Anshe Ir Gedoyla can regard the small city like 4 amos, but Ein Anshe Ir Katana, they can't regard the large city like 4 amos. Loi Mishtabish. That Gersa too is not erroneous. Man Datani Anshe Loi Mishtabish. The Gersa that read Anshe twice, meaning both members, both cities can walk through the neighboring city and treat it like 4 amos. Loi Mishtabish. It's not erroneous. The Mokum Labanoisen. Because he applies the Mishnah to a case where the Erev was placed in that neighboring city, in which case it's 4 amos. Uman detani ein anshe, the other version, lemishtabish, that's also not erroneous, the mukim lebemoided. Because according to this version, the reason why we differentiate between the members of the Ir Gedoyla, who can treat their neighboring small city like 4 amos, versus the members of the small city who cannot treat their neighboring large city like 4 amos, he establishes to be speaking about Moedet, that they're counting along and they reach the neighboring city, in which case it makes a difference. Which way are you going? The members of the large city who are heading to the small city, in which case the small city is included completely in their Tchum, fine, then it's 4 amos and no more. But if the members of a small city head towards a large city, in which case their 2,000 will terminate right in the middle of the large city, then they can't treat it like 4 amos. That's also a correct approach to the Mishnah. The problem is that the next line of the Mishnah discusses a case where a person places an Erev in the city. So the continuation between the opening portion of the Mishnah and then the next halacha of the Mishnah seems to be a little bit inconsistent, out of place. Because if we're not speaking about, if the first part of the Mishnah is not speaking about placing an Erev in the neighboring city, Then how come the Mishnah continues on and describes such halacha of placing an Erev in the neighboring city? It seems to be a bit inconsistent according to this approach. We meant to learn the Mishnah as though it's missing some words. And this is how we meant to learn it. They're members of the large city who are heading towards the small city, which is totally included in their tchum. They can treat the small city like four armies. But the members of a small city who are heading towards a large city, which is not completely included in their tchum, they can't treat it like four armies. When does this apply? When a person is measuring and counting his tchum out of the city. But if a person resided in a large city and decided to place his Erev in the neighboring city, in that small city, or in the reverse, he was a member of a small city and placed his Erev in the neighboring large city, in this case, since he placed the Erev in that city becomes his Makom Shrisa. It's one singular residential unit and is regarded merely like four amis despite its huge size. And he can walk beyond that city 2,000 amma. So again, if he places the Erev in a city, that city becomes his Makom Shrisa. There's no question about that. If he happens to be walking from one city and ends up in a different city, so if he's stuck in the middle of that city, that's where his tchum stops. If he happens to reach all the way to the end of the city, then we regard that city like four amis, and he can continue counting the rest of his tchum beyond that city. Omar Rabbi Yosef, Omar Rami Bar Abba, Omar Afuna, Ir Sheyishebes Al Sfas HaNachal. The city, which is situated at the ridge of a deep ravine, a canyon. If they have constructed a protective barrier, a fence 4 amas high to protect them from this deep ravine, in which case it's considered a properly constructed city, a safe environment, we treat it like a bona fide city. What happens to a city? Where does the tchum begin? Not from the individual homes within the city, rather from the outskirts, from the wall of the city, from the edge of the city. So we begin measuring the tchum from the edge of the ravine, meaning from the edge of the city. But if there's no wall there to protect them, in which case it's an unsafe environment, it's not considered a properly constructed city. We treat it like merely a collection of houses. And what happens then? We begin calculating the tchum, each person from the doorstep of his home. You've explicitly said that a daka, a fence, 4 amas high is necessary in this case. Okay. Maishnam b'kol daki da'amma. Why is this different than the other dakas that we discussed earlier? We had this on Nuntes, we had this on Samach, which merely needs to be a small size indicator, a small barrier. You don't need to have this huge fence to create that separation. Why is this case different? Why in the other daki is it enough, the arba? Why over there is just a 4 tfachim in height? The daka over there is not in order to protect. It's not coming to create protection. There's nothing wrong with using that area. It's not a precarious area of use. Over here they're scared to use the area. It's a deep ravine facing them. So over here, you need proper protection. Only this properly constructed fence can accomplish that. And only in this case do we regard the city as a properly constructed city, with a din of a city. And as we discussed, this will result in approaching the concept of tchum differently than just single homes. Amar Rav Yosef ben Amminela, from where did I derive this concept that unless a city is properly protected with this fence, is it treated like a din of a city, in which case the tchum begins at the outskirts of that city. The Sanya, we learned in a braisa, hit to Rebbe. Rebbe allowed the following. There was a slope, a mountain, with two cities. On top there was a city called Gader. Towards the bottom, a city called Chamsam. Says the Braisa Hitir Rebbe, Sheyu b'nei Godar Yordan Chamsim. He allowed the residents of the upper city to descend down to the lower city on Shabbos. V'ei b'nei Chamsim oylu l'Godar. However, the fellows on bottom, the b'nei Chamsim, would not be allowed to go up to the Godar. So the city above them. My time, what must be the reason here? Lav mishum dahani avodaka. Because the members of the upper city constructed this daka, this protective barrier. In which case, we treat them like a properly constructed city. Vahani loy avodaka. However, the fellows on bottom, the b'nei Chamsim, neglected this daka. It didn't protect themselves from the ravine off to the side of the mountain. So what happens now? The Gadar city on top, which is a proper city, they will begin calculating their tchum at the end of their city. So we have Gadar on top and Chamsim on bottom. So the Gadar on top who properly protect themselves and regard like a proper city, their tchum begins at the edge of their city. And when they calculate the 2,000 downward, the lower city of Chamsim is going to be included under 2,000. However, in the reverse, it won't work because the fellows on bottom didn't create a daka. They're not considered like a city. So when they calculate their tchum, where does it begin from? Let's take the house only on the bottom of the lower city. So they must begin calculating their tchum from their homes themselves, from the actual home. So they're going to make their way up the mountain and they're going to get stuck in the middle of the upper city. So they're going to come up short because they can't begin calculating from the edge of their city. It's not a proper city. Right? The house living on bottom needs to begin his 2,000 from there and work his way up. He's going to get stuck in the middle of the upper city, in which case we learned earlier that if you're 2,000 terminating in the middle of a city, that's where you have to stop. Therefore, Rebbe said, the Bnei Gadar, the ones living on top, since they begin calculating the tchum from the outskirts of that town, the entire lower city will be included in their tchum. But the fellows on bottom, at least the houses on the lower end of that city, won't be able to reach the top city. That's all he meant to say. And this is based on the concept of the requirement to make a daka in order for us to consider a proper city. So that's Rav Yosef's version of events, and it supports his contention of the daka concept. Kiyosu Rav Dimi came, he offered a different explanation for this halacha of Rebbe. Omar, he said like this, Tatrugi metatrugi luhu b'nei gadar l'b'nei chamsim. The fellows on top, the b'nei gadar, would harass, would hit, Rashi says they would hit, they would kill. On Shabbos, due to drunkenness, they would kill the b'nei chamsim who came to visit their city up on top. So if a Rebbe prohibited the fellows living on the bottom city from coming up and visiting the upper city for safety purposes. Umay hitter. So why does the Braisa use the word hitter, which seems to imply that we're speaking about Isser Beheta, not just safety? Hiskin. The Braisa merely means that he established this custom that for protective purposes, for safety purposes, the men to conduct themselves in the following manner. Umay shna Shabbos. Why was this limited to Shabbos? Shchicha b'shichrus, because intoxication is commonplace. So he was worried about the safety of the Bnei Chamsim down on bottom. Therefore, he didn't let them come up to the Gadar city. Says the Gemara, what'd you accomplish? Ki az lahasam nami metatrig luhu. So now you let the fellows from the upper city come down to the bottom city. They're aggressive people. They're going to go harass them down there too. Says the Gemara, but they're out of their home territory. When a person's away from his domain, from his home territory, he doesn't have the same degree of confidence and aggressiveness, and therefore, there's nothing to worry about. There's a common saying, kalba b'lay masay, a dog who's out of his town, out of his home territory, he loses his aggressiveness, shev shnin leinavach, for 7 years he didn't bark. So although the Bnei Gadar, the upper city members, will come down to the lower city, they're not going to harass them, and there's no concern. Says the Gemara, but 1 second, when they come down there, the fellows in the lower city will remember, recall what they did to them. And they're going to take revenge. Hashtanami. So now as well, when they come down, mit hatrigi b'nei chamsim b'nei gadar, the fellows from the lower city will take revenge and harass and hurt their guests who are going to arrive on Shabbos. As the Gemara kuli hai lekaifalu. The fellows of the upper city are so not subject, so not subordinate to the members of the lower city, they're so overconfident and intimidating to the fellows of the lower city that even if they show up in their town, there's no concern that the members of the lower town will do anything to them. So according to Rav Dimi, it's unrelated to the concept of Daka. It's simply a safety concern here that Rebbe did not allow the members of the upper town to host the members of the lower town due to safety concerns. Rav Safra Amar, he had a third approach to this halacha. Ira Asuyki Keshes Havoy. He says that the upper city was shaped like a bow. This is what we learned earlier. Ira Asuyki Keshes. So the upper town is based like, it's shaped like a bow. In this case, we regard the entire bow and the imaginary bowstring running from one side to the other, like the outline of the city, and everything within it is considered city, so as though it's filled with homes. Now, they begin calculating the tchum from where? From the imaginary bowstring, which is considered to be the outline of their city. So they calculate 2,000, and they get all the way to the bottom city, which is included in that 2,000. Therefore, Rebbe says that the B'nai Gadar, the upper city, have full access to the lower city, which is within the 2,000 from their bowstring. However, in the reverse, it won't work, because the fellows on bottom, when they begin calculating the 2,000, they're going to end up in the middle of the empty space here. Right? They won't be able to reach anything. They won't be able to reach the bow. Taisa said they can't even reach the size of the bow, perhaps. Perhaps it's more than 2,000 nami, because the diagonal takes up more than a straight line. So they're out of reach. That's all he was speaking about. He was telling us that the upper city, which is a keshes, will consider the entire bow and the bowstring like an outline of the city. Their tchum begins from the bowstring outward, in which case the whole lower city is included in their tchum, but this won't work in the reverse, because the lower city begins calculating their tchum from their city, works their way up, and ends up perhaps somewhere in the middle of this empty space. They won't be able to reach the built portion. So that's Rav Safra's approach to explain this price. Rav Dimi Rachin Amar, he had a fourth approach. Anshir Gedoyla Va'anshir Ketana Avoy. Very simple. We discussed this earlier. We have a large city situated next to a small city. So the large city begins their tchum from the edge of their city, in which case, chances are they can include the small city into their tchum and treat it like four amis. In contrast to the small city, who's trying to reach the large city, perhaps their 2,000 will end up right in the middle of that city, in which case they can't treat it like four amis. So that was the situation here as well. The Gadar city, meaning the upper city, was a large city. And the lower city, the Chamsa, was a small city. So when the upper city begins calculating their tchum from the edge of their town, within their 2,000 will be included the lower city. So they must treat it, they can't treat it merely like four amis, because it's enveloped in their tchum. However, the lower city, which is the smaller city, when they begin calculating their 2,000, what happens? They end up right in the middle of the other city, on the upper city. They can't treat it like four amis. In accordance with the halacha we learned earlier, that only when a city is completely enveloped in your tchum is it treated like four amis. So that's what Rebbe in the Braisa was telling them. He was teaching them this halacha, that when a city is fully enveloped in your tchum, it's four amis. When it's partially in your tchum, partially out, then you can't treat it like four amis. So in conclusion, we have halacha of Rebbe telling the Bnei Gadar they can go down, but not the Bnei Chamsin to come up. And we have four approaches to explain this halacha. Rav Kahana Masni Hachi. Rav Kahana adopted this approach that it was clear who said what. Rav Safra was the one who described it as a keshes, Rav Dimi Rechina as the Ir Gedoyle or Ketana, as we just said. But there was another version of events here, Rav Tevyumi Masni Hachi had a different version where we have these four approaches, the same four approaches, but we're unsure regarding the last two approaches, who said what. We know it was Rav Safra and Rav Dimi Rechinana. We just don't know who says what. Chad Omar once said, Irasui Kikesh Savoy, that it was the keshes arrangement, which resulted in this halacha. Chad Omar, and the other one said, Anshir Ketana, Va'anshir Gedoy Lavoy, it was a large and small city situated next to each other, which resulted in this discrepancy between the ones coming down and the fellows going up, as we described. So the only difference here is that one's sure which approach to attribute to who. Okay, so in summary, we learn like this. If a person wants to treat a city like one single unit, like four amis, so it depends. If he actually spent his Shabbos there, this is his place, this is his neighborhood. Yep, in that case, the city is four amis, and he has 2,000 beyond the city. In a case where he places the Erev in the city, likewise, the city is four amis, he has 2,000 amis beyond. What if he didn't do any of the above? He's counting along, and he reaches the city. So of course, if it ended at the end of the city, in which case the city is enveloped in his tchum, we treat it like four amis. If his midah, his 2,000 amma, terminated in the middle of the city, you have to stop right there. I cannot treat the city like four amis. We had a story about two cities situated on a slope, Gadar on top, Chamsa on the bottom. Rebbe said the upper fellows can come down, but the lower level residents can't come up. We have four approaches. Rabbi Yosef learned it has to do with the Daka concept. And Rav Dimi said it has to do with the danger factor due to intoxication. Rav Safra said it was an Iras or Yekid Keshes, in which case the Tchum of the upper fellows will include the lower city, but not vice versa. And the final approach of Rav Dimi Bar Chinina, that the upper city was a large size city, in which case the lower city was included in there. Tchum, and it's treated like four amis. But the lower city, which was a small size city, their tchum ended in the middle of the upper city, in which case we cannot treat the upper city merely like four amis. Continues the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah we discussed earlier. An she'ir k'doyla, ma'alchen es kol yir k'tana. Van she'ir k'tana, ma'alchen es kol yir k'doyla. So this is the gerus of anshe, right? The people of the yir k'doyla can treat the small city in which they place their Erev, like four amis. This is their place of residence. This is the Mokka of the Erev. Likewise, the Anshir Katana, who place their Erev in the Ir Gedoyla, which is now for them their place of residence, is treated merely like four amis. Keitzad, how is this to be? Misha Yabir Gedoyla, he resided in a large city. Venasin Seruvi Bir Katana, and placed his Erev material in the neighboring city, the small city, or in the reverse. Bir Katana, he resides in a small city. Venos Nese Ruvi Bir Gedoyla, and places Erev next door in the large city. Malchus Kula. V'chutzala Pai Mama. He can walk throughout the entire city, treated like just four amis, because this is his neighbor, this is Makom Shvisa. In addition to that, he gets 2,000 amma beyond. So this is the Shita of the Tanakam, the Chachamim. Whether you personally spend your Shabbos there, or you place your food there, this is considered to be your neighborhood, and it's four amis. Rabbi Kiva Omer makes a difference. Whether you're actually there, in which case it's your personal neighborhood, it's your place of residence, sure, we regard the city as four amis, you have 2,000 beyond. But, Rekiva holds, if you merely placed your bread there, sure, it becomes your Makom Shvisa, but that personal element is absent. This is not your neighborhood. We can't treat the city like your personal space, like four amis. You get 2,000 amma from the location, from the spot of the Erev. That's a Rekiva's Chiddush. Rekiva, Oymer, Eimloi Elu Mamakim Eruvoi, Alpayim Amma. Omer Len Rekiva. So Rekiva challenged the Chacham to prove his point. Iyata Moidimli. Do you not agree with me in a case of Benoisni Eruvoi Bimara? Let's say a person places Erev material in a cave. Do you not agree with me in that case She'eimloi Elu Mamakim Eruvoi Alpayim Amma? That he's only granted 2,000 to all directions? He doesn't get the entire cave. We don't consider the cave like four amis, which will grant him the cave plus 2,000. He simply gets 2,000 from the spot of his bread. Amr lois, they told him, Ey Masai. Yeah, but when is that? Bizman Sheima Diurin. There's nobody living there. It's not a residential place. Aval Yeshua Diurin, but if it is a residential place, Mahalich Eskula, yeah, he can walk through the entire cave. As huge as it is, you know, today they found these huge caves, can be miles and miles long. It's regarded like a single residential unit. We treat it like four amis. And beyond that, another 2,000 amma. So Chacham disagreed with Rekiva. They say if a person places his bread in a residential area, In a city, for instance, or a cave which is filled with people, it's a residential place, then it is regarded like one unit, it's four amis, you get 2,000 amah beyond. Nimtza kal toichem al gaba. This results in the interior, the inside of the cave, having a leniency above the top of the cave. Meaning the inside is more lenient than the outside, because the inside is treated like four amis, despite its large size. Whereas if a person places the erev on the roof of the cave, that's not considered to be a residential place, that's not a makom of mechitzas, etc. That's not considered like four amis. And he gets 2,000 from the spot of the erev. Continues the Mishnah. Now, although the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Kiva, they hold that when a person places his erev in a city, for instance, this city is merely like four amis, as far as he's concerned, but they're going to agree with him. They're going to agree, period, that if a person is merely counting along, meaning he has his erev somewhere out in the distance, and he's measuring his 2,000, and he ends up in the middle of a city, yeah, in that case, certainly, he's stuck right there. Ulamoydet she'amar, the person who's counting along, he's measuring his tchum, that they said, as far as he's concerned, nois napayim amo, we give him the 2,000 amo. In that case, she'afilu, or some agoris afilu, soif midasa kol b'mara, even if his territory ends right in the middle of a cave, even the Chacham would agree in this case, that what you got is what you got, you can't go any further, because it's only when you were shoivus in the cave, or your food was there, in which case this becomes your place of residence, your neighborhood, then it's four amis. But if you resided elsewhere and you happen to show up in the middle of a cave, but this is where your tchum ends, you have to stop right there, and you can't go even a step further. Continues the Gemara. So according to Rabban, even placing food in a city makes that place a makam of Dalad Amos. It's one residential area and is one unit of personal space, and you get 2,000 beyond. Now, what about if this place is uninhabited? Nobody's living there. So the Rabban also hold that in this case, we treat it like four amis. Let's say it's an uninhabited city. It's surrounded with mechitzes, but nobody's living there. So do we consider that as one's residential unit? And in regard like four amis? Or do we say in this case, Rabban agreed to Rekiva, we treat it like it's out in the open, and all you get is your standard 2,000. Rav Machloik is between Rabbi Dama Shmuel and Rabbi Lez. Om Rabbi Dama Shmuel, Shavaz Bir Chareva. If he personally spent his Ben Hashmashis, spent his Shabbos in an uninhabited city, that's different. That's your neighborhood, because you happen to be there. The Rabbanon Mahalachas Kula, according to Rabbanon, and Rashi says, according to Rekiv as well, you get that entire city, it's treated like your personal space, like four amis, but Chutzul Apayim Amo, in addition to that, you get 2,000 beyond. That's because you personally were there. There's that personal element there. This is your place of residence. The entire city is like one unit of personal space. But he niyeches eruvai bir chareva. If he places air material in a desolate, uninhabited area, even if it's a city surrounded with machitzes, well, generally we say the place of your air becomes your makam shvisa, your place of residence. And if it's in a city, the city is like your neighborhood that becomes four amis. But since this place is uninhabited, eloi mimokim eruvai ala paimam. You only have 2,000 in all directions. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda Mashmo. Rabbi Lezo, I mean, it's irrelevant whether or not it's inhabited, echad shavas, whether he personally spent the Shabbos in the city, this uninhabited city, v'echad eniach, whether he places food there. Malach eskula, according to the Chachamim, he gets the entire area, and it's treated like four amas, v'chutzul apayim amo, in addition to that, 2,000 amo. It's one unit. It's an enclosed area. It's a city. It has a din of one residential unit because you place your food there. To you, this is considered to be your neighborhood. Although there's nobody actually living there, it's irrelevant. So in summary, according to Rekiva, if a person places food in a city, we give him 2,000 amma and no more. According to Rabbanon, not only if you happen to spend Shabbos in the city, in which case it's your neighborhood, Do we consider the city like 4 amas, and you get an additional 2,000? Even if you place your food in the city, that's considered to be your neighborhood, and the city is merely treated like 4 amas. What if the city is uninhabited? So according to Rabbi Elazar, it doesn't change matters. This is still your neighborhood. You're there. Your makom shvi'is is there. According to Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol, no. In this case, since we're lacking both personal elements, he's personally not there, it's only his food, and there's nobody actually living there. So both elements, both personal elements are absent here. We can't treat this like one neighborhood, like 4 amas. May say you have a kasha on the shita of Rabbi Elazar, who maintains that even a place which is lacking residents, uninhabited area, according to Chachamim, we're going to treat like 4 amas. We have a Mishnah, our Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva responded to the Chachamim, Iyata Moidimli, do not agree with me in the following case. Benois, and they say Ruvay b'ma'ar. If a person places Erev in a cave, She'en lo b'makim e'ruvay, Ela apayim amar, that we only have 2,000 amar in our direction. We don't consider the cave like 4 amas. Amar loy, so they responded, certainly, in that case, Eimasai, yeah, when is that? Bizman, she'en ba d'yurt, when there are no residents present in that cave. In which case, we can't consider it like a neighborhood. We can't consider it to be like one residential unit. So that was the response of the Chacham to Rabbi Akiva. What does this indicate? Ha be'en ba d'yur, maidule. Apparently, when there are no residents there, when it's uninhabited, they agree to Rabbi Akiva. That placement of food in this area does not regard it as one residential unit. This is a kasha, and Rabbi Elazar tells us that even if it's uninhabited, it makes no difference. Says the Gemara, "My ein bad yurin." What does "ein bad yurin" mean? Ein ru'uya ladira. It's not suitable for residency. It doesn't have mechitzes, and that's why it can't be considered like 4 amas. But a place which has mechitzes, we regard it like 4 amas, whether or not it is inhabited. Toshma, we have a raya from the Braisa which says like this. Shabbos beer, if a person actually spent his Shabbos in a city, afilu hi gedoyla kantuchya, even if it's so large in size like the city of Antuchya, b'ma'ara, who he actually personally spent Shabbos in a cave, a huge cave, afilu hi kima'aras kitzitkiyo melech Yehuda, even if it's large in size like the cave that Tzidkiyo prepared for himself to escape from Yerushalayim all the way to Yericho, from the Kazdim, from Nuchadnetzar, if a person actually spent his Shabbos in these enclosed areas, that's regarded like his personal space. Malachis kula, he can walk through that throughout the entire thing. V'chutzla paim ama, and beyond another 2,000. That's the Braisa. Now the Braisa mentions a city and a cave. Ketani ir dumya demar. Let's assume that the nature, the character of the city, is similar to the characteristics of the mar. What does that mean? Since they're listed together, let's assume they're similar in nature. Ma ma'ara chareva. Just as a cave is presumed to be uninhabited, af'ir chareva. Likewise, the city, which is mentioned together with the ma'ara, is speaking about an uninhabited city. And the Braisa tells us, v'shavasin. When do we consider like one unit? Because he actually spent Shabbos there. Aval he'niach loy. But the Braisa is coming to tell us that it's only if he personally spends Shabbos there, but if he just places food there, since it's an uninhabited area, we can't consider it like one unit. Now let's analyze. Whose shita are we following? Mami. Whose shita is this? Elim Rabbi Akiva. Are we following Rabbi Akiva's shita? And the Braisa is stressing to us that placement of an Erev in an uninhabited area cannot result in that area being considered like 4 amas. According to Rabbi Akiva, my area, why discuss an uninhabited area? I feel you shave a nami, even a fully inhabited area is still not considered like 4 amis by merely placing your food there. So apparently this Bryce are not following Rabbi Akiva because there's no chiddush to discuss this case. Because Rabbi Akiva, you never consider the location of your food like 4 amis. El lav rabbanan. Apparently this Bryce is following rabbanan and coming to teach us. We only consider this uninhabited cave, uninhabited city, like 4 amis, because he actually personally spent Shabbos there. So you have that personal element there. It's your personal neighborhood, so it's 4 amis. But the Braisa is coming to teach us that if you merely place your food there, we don't consider it like 4 amis. Why? Apparently this is different because it's uninhabited. It's unlived in. So there's a raya to the shita that differentiates between placing food in an inhabited area and an uninhabited area. Says Marlai Tema Iriduma Demara. Certainly the Braisa lists a city together with the Mara, but instead of comparing the city, the nature of the city to the nature of the Mara, do it in the reverse. Ela'ema, say like this. Ma'ara dumidir. Apparently the character and nature of the Ma'ara of the cave was meant to be similar to the city, which is Ma'ir Yesheva. Just as we assume the city as a lived-in city, Af Ma'ar Yesheva. The Ma'ara as well is a lived-in cave. Rabbi Kiva. And the Brice is following Rabbi Kiva, the Amar. Ein loy mimoki meruvoy el alpayim amu. That if a person places food at a certain location, he only gets 2,000 in either direction. And the Brice is coming to tell you, yeah, that's only when you place food, but if you actually personally spend your Shabbos there, in this lived-in city, in this inhabited cave, even Rabbi Kiva would agree, that whole area is regarded like four amis. So initially the Gemara figured, was speaking about desolate areas, and the Brice is following this Rabbanan and coming to tell us that we only treat this place like four amis because you personally were there, but placement of Erev will not result in treating it like four amis. And this was a kasha. So the shita that held otherwise, the Gemara concludes, no, the Brice is following Rabbi Kiva. We're speaking about fully lived in areas. And Rabbi Kiva agrees that by Shavas, if he's actually spending his Shabbos there, we treat it like four amis. Says Rabbi, how can you say we're speaking about lived in areas? The cave that the Brice is mentioning is meant to be similar to Ma'ar Sitkiyo, which was not inhabited. Rashi says it was something belonged to the king, wasn't really lived in, and certainly currently today nobody's living there. So apparently it's desolate. Says the Gemara, Kim Ma'ar Sitkiyo, but like Ma'ar Sitkiyo. In one way it was similar to that Ma'ar, in one way it was dissimilar to Ma'ar Sitkiyo. Kim Ma'ar Sitkiyo Gedayla. In what way was it similar to that Ma'ar? Due to its large size. V'loike Ma'ar Sitkiyo. But in another aspect, it's dissimilar to Ma'ar Sitkiyo. Why? Due to its content. Dilu Hasam Chareva. That Ma'ar Sitkiyo was uninhabited. V'ach Yesheva. Our cave is lived in. And the Brice here is highlighting to us Rabbi Kiva Shita. Even if it's an area which is lived in, Rabbi Kiva holds, you know when we treat it like four amis? Only, strictly, if he was Shavasham, if he personally was present in this cave, in which case is his personal domain, his personal space. But merely by placing food there, we don't regard the cave like four amis. Continues the Gemara. Mar Yehuda ashkechinu levnei Mavrachta. Mar Yehuda encountered the residents of the Mavrachta town, the Kamoisvi Revayu, who were placing their Erev Tchumen material, bevei knishta de Bei Agubar, in the shul called Bei Agubar. Now, they held like the Rabbanon, so the location of the Erev, this enclosed Erev, this shul, is considered like four amis, and they get 2,000 amis beyond that point. And therefore, they weren't too particular about the exact location within that shul where they placed the Erev. It's irrelevant. The whole shul is merely regarded like four amis. But he held differently. He held like a Rabbi Kiva. He held that when you place your Erev, even in an enclosed area, you get 2,000 from that point. So he told them like this, Amar lehu, gavu beitvei, push it in a bit further. Ki echi delishteri lechutvei. So that you receive a greater allowance. So this was the city, and the shul was nearby. So he said, look, when you place the Erev, don't place it close to your city. Place it further into the shul, further away from your city, which will grant you more walking space. 2,000 from that point and on. Amar lehu rava, so Rabbi responded to Mar Yehuda, Palga, disputant, you're being chaylik on the Chachamim? Be'erven leis, the chosh lahod Rekiva. When it comes to Erven, we went to adopt a lenient approach. Nobody's concerned about the Shidur Rekiva. We follow the Chachamim. And therefore, regardless of where in the shul you place it, the shul is four amos, and you get 2,000 amos beyond, so it's irrelevant where in the shul they place the Erev. Hadran aloch, keitzan mavren. Okay, time for a brief chazor of today's daf. When we have a city, do we consider the city like four amis, which will allow you to walk throughout that city and get 2,000 amis beyond? The answer is, it depends on the situation. If he was Shabbos boy, he actually spent his Shabbos in the city, in which case, it's considered like his neighborhood, an entire city is merely regarded like four amis. So the answer in this case is yes. If he merely places Erev in the city, according to Rav Akiva, the answer is no, it's not your neighborhood. According to the Chacham, it depends. If it's a lived-in area, there are diurin there, then the answer is yes. If there are no diurin, it's desolate, uninhabited, then we have machlekes. According to Shmuel, in this case, we can't consider this like one neighborhood, and the answer would be no. According to Belezer, it's irrelevant of whether or not there are people there. This is your place, this is your neighborhood, you place your Erev there, this is your Makam Shvisa, which we the entire city, merely like four amis. If he happens to place his Erev elsewhere, and he's calculating his tchum, and he happens to encounter a city, so if the entire city is included in his tchum, it's considered to be part of his territory, then we regard the city like one residential unit. If his tchum only took him to half point of the city, in that case, he has to stop right there and can't go any further.